Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
the cold winds blow. Stronger than ever.
Yeah.
me up. Strength for the journey. Always enough. When I am lonely, you're there. Everything I need. Love all around. Don't ever leave me alone. When you're ready to give us, Lord, you won't let me go. You keep holding me. When I'm ready to give us, Lord, you won't let me go. You keep holding me.
Never.
Thank you.
praise and worship part of the service. Okay, now let's get into the message. It's called Doctrine of the Scripture. Okay, and it's brought to you by 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. So let us open in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that we have come to this earth, Lord. Let a light shine out again and again among those who hear your gospel, Lord. Also among those with sincere hearts, Lord. Wherever they are, Christians or Messianics, Lord, may they come to know your light and receive salvation in Jesus Christ. May your light shine for us, and may you appear to us ever more clearly, Lord. Remember all who call to you, Lord. Remember your people, Lord. May your people gather and become a light in your name and serving you wherever they go, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, legend has it there was an admiral in the Navy, a real sea dog and respected military strategist, who carried a little cord he discreetly looked at just prior to leading his fleet into battle. Of course, every sailor who ever served under him was crazy curious to what was on the cord. When he retired, he left the cord on his ready room, so the moment he left the ship, his officers ran to see what inspirational wisdom was on the card. It read, "Never forget, port is left and starboard is right." So sometimes in the heat of battle, we just need to know the basic truth that right is right and left is left. And this is what doctrine is for, a Jesus follower. The foundational basics that teach us right from wrong, good from evil, what's of God and what's not of God. So if you're just joining us, we're 4 weeks into a summer series of the Doctrine of Our Faith entitled Anchored. Just as an anchor is a stabilizing device used to secure a ship to the ocean floor to keep it from drifting due to a current wind, God has given us doctrine to serve as a faith anchor to help us through the storms and rough waters of life so we won't be swept away. Doctrine. See, doctrine is teaching and defining, describing, and delineating our faith to provide clarity into truth. Meaning, without sound doctrine, our lives will be set adrift by the wind currents of religious lies and cultural affections that lead us astray from God. In looking over the course of church history, we quickly notice that in the first few centuries of the church, we're preoccupied with questions like, who is Jesus and what is the church? And what was the Councils of Nicaea in 325 A.D. and Chalcedon in 451 A.D. that settled the question of humanity and divinity of Jesus? After that, the next 1,000 years sought to address what is the church. It was during this period the Roman Catholic Church claimed to be the only true church. Sadly, though, much was lost, confused, and compromised all in the name of religion until the 16th century when a few brave saints led by Martin Luther dared to challenge the status quo to usher in the Reformation and teaching we're saved by grace through faith and that our salvation was dependent solely upon Jesus alone and not a membership in the RCC, which is a Roman Catholic Church. Since the Reformation, the question has shifted from the Son of God and family of God to the Word of God. The raging battle over the past 400 years has been over the nature, veracity, and authority of Scripture. So what is the Bible? How can we know it's true? Is it reliable? What evidence is there to support its credibility? Like every other lesson to this point, we're going to try to broadly address this essential truth. The key question, what is the Bible? David, lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. James 1 says it's a mirror to reflect the inner man. The writer who Hebrew calls it a surgeon's scalpel to discern, dissect the thoughts and intents of the heart. And 2 Timothy, Paul says it's the very breath of God. As a non-denominational church, we agree with other like-minded denominations that the Bible is God's truth to man. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of himself to man. And is a perfect treasure of divine instruction. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its matter. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. It reveals the principles by which God judges us and therefore is and will remain to the end of the world the true center of the Christian or Messianic Union, and the supreme standard by which a human conducts creeds and religious opinions should be tried. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ, who is himself the focus of divine revelation. So the Bible is revelation. Revelation is how God makes himself known to his creation. It's his way of speaking to us through a variety of ways, like in nature and scripture. In theology, there are two types of revelation, general revelation and special revelation. A general revelation is where God reveals his nature and purpose through creation and divine providence. The heavens are the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the works of his hands. That's Psalm 19:1. This is why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is because a person only needs to take a peek at the wonder of the universe and the complexity of the human body to know everything is a result of intelligent design and not random chance. From the creation of the world, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, from the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what he had made. As a result, people are without excuse. You see, God has revealed himself to humanity through creation. Yet this kind of general revelation by itself is insufficient to tell us all that God wants us to know about his plan for humanity. That's why he's also given us special revelation in Jesus and the Bible. So special revelation is critical. If we're to experience the saving knowledge of God in special revelation in the Bible, God shows us what is true about himself and his plan of redemption through Jesus. Meaning, at its core, the Bible is the only source offering specific knowledge about God. Thus, without Scripture, we'd all be left on our own to figure out who God is and how can we relate to him. Yet this doesn't mean the Bible answers and addresses every area of life or question about God, but shows us how God intentionally limited this revelation with the intent to show us his plan of redemption. So the Bible is a book of revelation and redemption. In it we discover who God is and how much he loves us, who we are and how desperately we need him, and why he came near to rescue by his grace. So God made Adam bit, Noah arced, Abraham split, Joseph ruled, Jacob fooled, Bush talked, Moses balked, Pharaoh plagued, Israel walked, sea divided, tablets of guided, promise landed, Saul freaked, David peaked, prophets warned, Jesus was born, God walked, love talked, anger crucified, hope died, love arose, spirit flamed, word spread, and God remained. So key question is, how do we get the Bible? You see, the Bible is an inspiration. All Scripture is inspired by God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So when the Bible says all Scripture is inspired by God, it's speaking of a special kind of inspiration. It's not the kind of inspiration Mozart or Beethoven had when they composed musical masterpieces. It's not the kind of inspiration you have when you see a sunset or moved to write a poem. This is a different kind of inspiration, a unique type of inspiration. When 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says all Scripture is inspired by God, it literally means God breathed. So inspired, theo equals God, neo to blow. The word describes a ship's sails being filled with a wind so powerful it pushes a ship over the seas. So Paul is explaining that every part of Scripture is a product of the Holy Spirit's work as he filled the writers to carry them along to produce exactly what God wanted the creation to know about him. It's amazing to consider there are 66 books written over 1,600 years on three continents by 40-plus authors, including shepherds, kings, and statesmen, and yet the Bible is perfect in scope and purpose. A neo-orthodoxy view, This view denies the Bible as God's word. Instead, it teaches the Bible as a witness or mediator to Jesus. But the words in the Bible aren't God's word, but fallible words written by fallible men. The dictation view. This view teaches God as the author of the Bible, and that he used human agents and secretaries and scribes who took the dictation, meaning the Bible was minimal human contribution. God spoke it, they wrote it down. We know there are portions of Scripture where God said, write this down, Ten Commandments, but not all Scripture was created that way. Now let's look at a dynamic view. Whereas the dictation views sees the Bible as primarily God's work with minimal human contribution, the dynamic view sees the Bible as primarily man's work with limited help from God. The theory of limited inspiration ways God guided the human authors, but allowed them with freedom to express themselves to the point of allowing factual and historical errors. You see, when I was in college, Old Testament survey class, this was what my professor taught. In fact, this is where he stopped teaching, leaving class with an ambiguous and less healthy view of inspiration. Being the shy, non-confrontational type, I raised my hand and asked about the fourth and most widespread view of inspiration, the verbal plenary view. He replied, since he didn't believe it, he didn't teach it, but if I was smart, I could teach it, so I did. The verbal plenary view is based on the word inspired. The verbal plenary view teaches us just as musician blows air through his musical instrument to create a specific sound, God's spirit blew through the instrumentation of humanity to produce a perfect word. So God came upon but didn't strip the writer of his person, but used him for his glory. Thus every word of the Bible is inspired and exactly what God intended it to be, meaning that in an original text it was inherent, infallible, and authoritative. So God's word bears the mark or style of the writer's personality, yet every word is true and sure word of God himself. So the key question is, why do we need the Bible? You see, the Bible is illumination. To illuminate means to have something brightened with light so it becomes clear to the eyes. In a spiritual sense, illumination is turning on the light. Psalms 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. So we don't just pick up the Bible and read it and sudden understand it. It requires a work of the Holy Spirit to give us clarity, insight. This is why so often we can read a passage one day, and then the next we read it, we have a clarity we didn't have before, because it requires the Holy Spirit to turn on the light of understanding. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is himself? So even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 to 14. So the Holy Spirit shines a light on God's word to give us understanding, but how? Go back to 2 Timothy. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So Paul explains, we need the Bible so we might become mature, complete, fully equipped to serve, honor God. Or as the psalmist wrote, the Bible is a lamp to guide us, a truth to protect us, and food to nourish us. The Apostle Peter tells us that in the Bible we have everything we need to live a godly life because it teaches us what's right, moral, truthful, and honoring to God. A doctrine, truth, is connected to us. Okay, doctrine is teaching the Scriptures or thinking to define, describe, or delineate what we believe, which in turn is reflected as how we behave. It is truth that brings us into relation with God. Reproof, truth to confront us, okay, describes a process which brings something to light by careful examination or intense scrutiny when it gets off course and exposes to light any darkness. The goal of reproof is to confront a person, to convict them of their sins, to return them to God. God's word confronts to convict. So reproof will tell you where you're out of bounds. It's like an umpire who cries out or safe. I tell you what sin and what God is wants for your life. He provides the standard. Reproof is the light that shines in the dark closets of your heart, but unlike the light of the closet, the light of God's word enables one to correct or set straight that which is broken. So correction, to make straight again, is a secular Greek. It's referred to setting up right or an object that's fallen over to help a person who stumbled back up into the feet. So God's word is useful to pick us up and dust us off when we've been led astray or fallen away. Training, truth to confirm us. So training is a parenting term meaning to provide instruction, with the intent of forming proper habits and behavior guidance for the responsible living. It's instruction to install discipline and wisdom for living so that one learns before and through their mistakes. The Bible isn't solely a book about God. It's a book from God to man, and in it we find life and the principles and precepts to pursue life. We find light, truth, hope, and dignity. We find God's love. It's more than a book. It's a love letter, a roadmap, a fountain, a breath of fresh air. And for the Christian Messianic, it is food, his rest, his guide, his river, and foundation. The Christian Messianic can take the whole Bible in his hand and say without fear or hesitation that he holds it in true word of God, handed down without essential loss from generation to generation throughout the centuries. Well, that concludes the sermon, so let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, accept us, your children, whose lives are under your protection and who turn to you for strength, Lord. During all the struggles and temptations in the world, keep us certain of your love and goodness, Lord. Grant that we may help your name to be honored on earth and your salvation to be spread all over the world, Lord. May we help that the hope you have given us brings light and strength for our own lives and for all whom we love in Jesus Christ. Okay, and we pray this in the mighty and precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, this brings me to the invitation. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, okay, you will have a chance to do so in just a moment or two. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling this road of never knowing whether what's wrong or right, what's up or down? Okay, or maybe you're lacking purpose in your life and you need some purpose. Or maybe you're suffering from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you're suffering from something much worse, as an addiction to drugs or alcohol, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating, whatever it may be. You see, the Lord can take that away, but in order to do so, he has to know you. So if Jesus doesn't know you, he can't do nothing for you. So the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus this evening? If so, say, Lord Jesus, for too long I have kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, So please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior this evening. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just said this prayer, we'd like to invite you to the family of God. We'd like to say, amen. May God. Okay. And may God bless you and keep you highly favored. Amen. All righty. Well, I'm going to play some more music here. Okay. Here we go.
Come on!
nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame. Until we overflow,
Thank you. I be chillin', I just do it me. We turned up and we killin' this beat. Go ahead and get on your feet. the song says, mountains are still being. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. I love this when y'all says, bodies are still being raised. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you.
I hope everybody enjoyed the service today and all the music that I played. I hope it was a blessing to you. Okay. Tomorrow we're going to be off. It's Monday. Okay, and that's our normal day off. It's like a Sabbath. Okay. We celebrate on Monday. We don't do nothing on Monday. But we will be back Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for another episode of Real Christian and Messianic Talk and Godly Music. I hope you all can join us then. God bless. Have a wonderful night and a blessed week. Amen. Good night, folks. Bye-bye.